During his ministry, Jesus gives us some very difficult, even radical teachings. Teachings like, welcome the stranger. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Take up your cross and follow me. However, for me, one of Jesus's most challenging teachings emerges from a conversation he has with Peter. Peter asks Jesus, Lord, if someone sins against me, how often should I forgive them? Seven times? Jesus replies, not seven times, but 70 times seven. 70 times seven, that's 490 times. And the way I understand this teaching, Jesus is asking me not just to forgive 490 times, but to forgive the same person 490 times. With all the people in my life, that's a lot of forgiving. I can do 70 times seven in my head, but I have a very difficult time doing that number in my heart. In today's scripture reading, Jesus tells a powerful, heart-changing parable about forgiveness. Listen now for God's word to us as I read these words from the Gospel of Matthew. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several months before their marriage, the Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy asked his teenage fiancée, Sonia, to read his diaries. He wants to keep no secret from her, to begin their life with a clean slate, to be understood and to be forgiven. However, when Sonia reads his diaries, she discovers that Tolstoy has had several sexual liaisons before he met her. And he has even fathered a child with a woman named Axinia. Sonia knows Axinia. She's one of the family's servants who is still working on the Tolstoy estate. Afterwards, Sonia writes in her own diary, "When he kisses me, I'm always thinking I am not the first woman he has loved." In another entry in her diary, dated January 14th, 1909, Sonia writes, "He relishes that peasant wench with her strong female body and her sunburnt legs. She allures him just as powerfully now as she did all those years ago." Sonia writes these words when Axinia is a stooped, shriveled woman of 80. Why does Sonia allow a half a century of jealousy to fester, to blind her, to stoke her resentment, to destroy her trust, and to threaten her love for her husband? It's because forgiveness is difficult. Frequently, it is very difficult. That's why the servant who has been forgiven so much in today's parable is not willing to forgive his fellow servant even a trifle. It's because forgiveness is difficult, often so very difficult. Look what it has cost God to forgive you and me, to redeem us, to welcome us back home. It has cost God God's only Son's death on a cross. Forgiveness is difficult. It is costly. Frequently, it is even unfair. But what alternative do we have? Now, we know all the arguments against forgiving. He needs to learn a lesson. She needs to suffer the consequences of what she's done. He doesn't even think he's done anything wrong. To forgive her now would just give her permission to do it all over again. How can I forgive? He continues to hurt me, and he hasn't even said I'm sorry for hurting me the last time. All these arguments are good and reasonable, and yet we're still left with these questions. What alternative do we have but to forgive? And perhaps even more importantly, has anything else worked? Has our anger and bitterness worked? Has our hatred worked? Has our cold shoulder, silence, and pouting worked? Has our resentment and acts of reprisal worked? The word resentment literally means to feel again. And this is exactly what happens when you and I don't forgive. Our resentments fester and build until we feel our hurt again and again and again. I don't care what that proverb says. Revenge is not sweet. Rather, it is a deadly poison that makes us act just like the ones who have hurt us. I recently heard a radio interview with the actress Ashley Judd, where she spoke about forgiving Harvey Weinstein his sexual assault on her. The interviewer was dumbfounded How can you forgive something like that? He asked. Miss Judd replied, "Oh, I'm not doing that for Harvey. I'm doing that for me. I can't let my anger and resentment cripple me for the rest of my life." In today's scripture reading, Jesus ends his parable of the unforgiving servant with these dramatic words. His Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. Tortured is a very strong and disturbing word. And yet this is exactly what happens to you and me when we refuse to forgive. We torture ourselves with our own resentments. We become bitter, angry, ugly people. A man went to his doctor with frequent headaches, chronic fatigue, weak, and in general, poor physical health. His doctor, knowing about his patient's wild lifestyle, said, "Here's what you need to do. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Stop staying out late. The best thing you can do is to change your lifestyle." The man was silent for a long time. Finally, he asked, "Well, Doc, what's the next best thing?" Because it is so difficult to forgive, often we say the very same thing to ourselves: what is the next best thing? But there is no other thing. There is no other cure for our self-inflicted torture but to forgive. However, believing and knowing that forgiveness is the only cure, and actually forgiving someone, are two entirely different matters. The Apostle Paul nails it when he writes in his letter to the Romans, "I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. This is where the message in today's scripture reading is so powerful for me. This parable reminds me just how much God has forgiven me. I've prayed, "Forgive us our debts," for as long as I can remember. This parable of the servant in debt up to his eyeballs causes me to wonder just how many debts I have accumulated. How many times have I failed to trust God, disobeyed God, hurt someone else, failed to be my best self, neglected to help, to give, to listen, to love? How many times have I gossiped, lied, lusted in my heart, failed to forgive? 5 times a day? 3 times a day? Maybe I ought to give myself a break. After all, I'm a minister. How bad could I be? Don't answer that. Now, for argument's sake, let's say that once a day, every day, since the age of 12, I've done or failed to do one thing that needs to be forgiven. I can do 70 times 7 in my head, but not this. When I put these numbers into my smartphone calculator, what comes out is 23,725. 23,725 debts. 23,725 times I have disobeyed God, hurt others, and disappointed myself. 23,725 times that God has forgiven me, no questions asked. 23,725 is more than twice the amount as the 10,000 that was forgiven in today's parable. God has been even more generous, more merciful to me than to that unmerciful, unforgiving servant. When I come to this realization, can't I forgive someone else at least two times, five times, maybe even 70 times, seven times? Bruce Larson, in his book, Faith for the Journey, tells about a young woman in the Philippines who is reported to have seen Jesus on numerous occasions. After hearing about this remarkable young woman from several reliable sources, the Roman Catholic bishop in the area visits her. "My dear," he says, "I hear that you see and talk with Jesus. The next time you see him, please ask him what sin your bishop committed as a young priest." Obviously, this is a test, since no one else knows about this sin except Jesus, the bishop, and the bishop's confessor. Several months later, the bishop visits this remarkable woman again. "Have you seen Jesus since the last time we met?" he asked her. "I have," she answers. "Did you ask Jesus about what sin your bishop committed as a young man?" "Yes, I did." "What was his answer?" "His reply was, 'I don't remember. I don't remember.'" God in Christ treats your sin and my sin the very same way. Now, I do not know how deep your resentments are, how badly you have been betrayed, how old or how fresh your wounds are, but I do know someone who does. Someone who has a lot more to forgive than you or I do. Someone who prayed from his cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Someone who has promised not only to forgive us, but to enable us to forgive others and ourselves. Lots of things happen in our lives and in our world that need to be forgiven, but they do not rule. God in Christ does, always has, and always will. And if we will ask God to help us, God's Spirit, God's compassion, God's mercy and forgiveness will rule in us too, and will enable us to forgive 70 times 7 and more.